this nation has been.
There are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline.
Greed.
In the dollar.
For lack of a better word.
Late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
The economy.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Money Talks.
Good morning, good morning. My name's Matt Hames, and you're here with us again on Money Talks. I'm here with Scott Keller, CFA, Troy Harmon, CFA. Two CFAs here. I feel outranked significantly, guys.
Yeah, what's your title?
What was that again you are?
I'm a CTFA. Yeah, I've got one extra letter. Does that make it more important?
Is that right? Means you had to study Absolutely. Harder than
I had
Troy.
To study hard,
you
got, we'll
you
say
extra,
that.
You got an extra sure. letter, see?
Sure.
You
know? All the analysts in the world are rolling their eyes at me right now. So, yeah, sure. That's exactly what it is. No, it's good to be back with you this morning. We're excited to be here. We got a lot to cover, guys. It's been a interesting week thus far. Obviously, we're recording the show here on late Thursday to be aired on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope that's when you're listening to us on AM 920 The Answer. And we'll want to go ahead and jump into recapping the market. Troy, what did you see this week?
Sure, yeah. Actually, a big rebound. We basically rebound to be flat.
For the year.
Yeah, it was. We were up a little better than 3% so far this past week, and that's the S&P 500. And obviously, if you watched real closely, oil has been kind of all over the place. And what really seemed strange about the market was, as oil rebounded, oil price going up, the market went up too. But when oil would turn and go down again. There went the S&P 500. So it's
very counterintuitive. You wouldn't
really
think it'd
is,
go
yeah.
that way. That's what's confusing everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you read into the news, we watch real closely manufacturing index and things of that nature, which we did get a reading on this week. But what seems to be happening is the capital expenditures from the energy companies have actually been driving earnings and even, earnings reporting. We had Exxon come out this week, and while they beat what the analysts expected, their earnings were down about 21%. So, when a company's earnings are negative from the previous year, although they're still positive, don't get me wrong, Exxon's not going hungry anytime soon. They've got it makes them rethink how much they're going to spend on capital improvements, and those capital improvements are they're spending that money with the rest of the economy, so
sure.
it does impact. Now, if you look at the rest of the market, you can see that the individual consumer is doing pretty well. Their incomes are up and their spending is way down. Why is their spending down? Because of energy, it's
sure.
low price of gasoline.
And a lot of people are paying down debt with that savings, or they're saving that money from the
right.
lower gas prices. They're not really taking it dollar for dollar and spending it.
That's right.
Right.
In the economy,
Yeah, that was one of the notes that we got from the personal income report this week. It said that spending declined 0.3%, and the income was still rising, but at a reasonable pace, so it's not causing any huge inflation. But income growth is at 0.1%. So the consumer still feels wealthier. They're
right.
saving more of what they get, and their earnings are still growing overall. So.
Well, Scott, to your point, I mean, there's more left over right at the end of the month.
Yeah, more money.
A penny saved on filling up your gas tank's not necessarily a penny spent, and I think that's healthy.
Yeah. If you look, actually, energy led the rebound in the market, too. Energy sector was up 5.3% during the week. And the usual companies who had been winning throughout, which were those, those staple-type companies, the ones that you have to have their goods. So it's going to be utilities, consumer staples, healthcare, those kind of companies. Usually their earnings and their price is usually a lot more stable than the other more cyclical businesses. So saw a little bit of a reversal on that. While the market's going up, you would expect that normally. So that seems halfway reasonable. We also had information out of ISM. Their manufacturing index came in lower than anticipated. It's still above 50, which is kind of the benchmark. If it's above 50, it's growing, but it's fell from 55.1 down to 53.5 in January. Again, you know, blaming oil prices on that.
There's
as
a theme
well
here, it seems.
Well, and you know what? Sometimes I'm right in there with everybody else, mm-hmm, wanting to throw the flag. You see the dollar appreciate, and if somebody misses, it's always because, you know,
strong,
the dollar appreciated.
Dollar. Yeah.
Yeah, and we had a lot of that through the earnings season, you know, over the last couple of weeks. But ISM manufacturing was down, and the services index actually reported as well. And guess what? Unexpectedly increased. So it went from 56.5, just a slight tick up to 56.7. You know, but if you look deeper, there's still, you know, good business activity among services companies. So what is our economy made up of? A huge portion of service industries. Yeah, we're not really that much in manufacturing. So it still seems kind of strange that there's such a wet blanket on earnings, mm-hmm, when, you know, most of the industries that make up our economy shouldn't be doing too terribly bad. But that's what we're seeing. Factory orders, which tie in well with that manufacturing, actually plunged 3.4% in December, which, again, you know, core capital, which is the non-defense, excluding aircraft, declined 0.1%, which is down 10.6% over the past 3 months. There's, like I say, it's a mixed bag. International trade, which is also heavily impacted by oil, the imports and the exports. It looks like we're importing more oil. Why is that? Because, again, you know, you got a strong currency and it's cheaper for you to buy somebody else's stuff. Although that is done generally in dollars, you know, our economy is still stronger.
And is it worth explaining a little bit, just for, you know, the folks that are listening to the show? We hear and we talk about it a lot, and especially during a time like earnings season or when economic reports are coming out. Strong dollar means seemingly negative news when it comes to economics.
Yeah, but
To the layperson, you would think, well, isn't it good that our dollars?
But you want to have a strong dollar for long term benefit. Yeah,
sure. Right. So I mean, why is that? Why is it a problem?
Well, basically, if you think about any currency trade, your currency it trades strong or weak relative to every other currency. So it's, you know, it's not that we can all be strong at the same time. One is going to be stronger relative to the other.
It's at the expense of someone else.
Absolutely, yeah. So what you have is when your currency is strong relative to everyone else, it's easier for you to buy their goods because in reality, the cost of those goods have fallen. So you can source, you know, imports. But it's really hard to sell your exports because they're more expensive than everyone else's.
Yeah, so it's harder for them to buy our stuff.
Right.
In the more global economy that we now operate in, and so much of what we talk about here, many of these large cap stocks that are the big headliners when it comes to earnings season, they're doing so much business internationally.
Right.
A strong dollar makes it harder for those foreign countries to purchase
and that's goods. especially true in like industrials where you have these companies have basically designed themselves so that their earnings are sourced from half in their domestic economy and half elsewhere.
Yeah.
And anytime the dollar appreciates, well, the international sourced earnings.
First thing they talk about on earnings report. That's first thing they talk about.
Yeah, first thing. Well, and everybody expects it.
And then the big one that came out really is GDP.
Right.
Because that's the big one. What you look for in all these different reports is you're looking for trends.
Right.
Because a lot of things change from one month to another. But you definitely look at the trends. But GDP basically, you know, came in at 2.6% for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the previous quarter, third quarter, was revised to 5% total, you know, in the last report that we got from GDP. And backing up a step, this is what causes economic growth is what causes a strong currency generally because people want to invest where there's most economic growth.
Yeah.
And, of course, they want to do that where there's growth and limited inflation because the inflation eats away the benefits of that strong growth. But Have you seen what inflation is doing lately? Yeah, you haven't? Neither has anybody else. Because
we have not exactly, inflation.
I mean,
theoretically, if you look at the numbers going out to May, June, and you look at how the numbers might be trending, we may have deflation here.
Right. And
the reports you read, I mean, that's really how the numbers are going to shake out. If gas stays where it is, things like that. So, quote unquote, we will have deflation.
Yeah, the central bankers worry as much or more about deflation than they do inflation. They always have this target at about 2%. We've been under that target for quite a while. And, you know, the biggest reason behind the European Union doing what they did, the European Central Bank coming out with their new quantitative easing program, is because they've had very, very low inflation. They're worried about deflation. Deflation causes all kind of problems, especially if you have a lot of debt. And Europe has a ton of debt.
They got a ton of debt. That's a lot of big problems over there.
Right.
All right. What other stuff we need to cover here?
Yeah, we were going to back up and talk a little bit more about some earnings releases this week. I know I'd mentioned ExxonMobil earlier in the show, and that they reported a 21% decline in the fourth quarter earnings. That just hurts. But even at 21% decline, they beat their earnings expectations, and the stock was up, believe it or not.
Because earnings were down from where they were last year, but it beat what the expectations were from analysts, so then the stock went up, right?
Yes, thank you for the mental gymnastics.
It wasn't as bad as we thought it would be.
Yeah.
You can't just read the top line. It's
right.
What the theory, I guess, is these analysts set the price, assuming that the earnings are going to be whatever. Another one of those cash flow concepts. And when the cash flow comes in bigger than everybody had expected, well, the price must adjust in order to meet that cash flow.
And nobody's going to feel sorry for them, because for 2014, they made $32.5 billion.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Versus the year before, they made $32.6 billion.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still a good chunk of change.
You know how they say, this too shall pass. This is not going to be the end of their game.
No.
And oil prices aren't going to stay this low forever. So.
Well, another company that I heard, they just released earnings, and it was Under Armour. So right. I heard the CEO being interviewed, and so they're buying the app called MyFitnessPal, and so they're paying $475 million for this app.
For the app.
Okay? This is an app like you'd have on your phone?
And you put in like what you eat, it tracks your calories, you know, your exercise.
How many Snickers a day are recommended, by the way?
I don't think that was on there. Yeah, I think you get a big red flashing light if you eat a Snicker. Right? You know what I mean?
I think it actually shocks you.
Your
phone buzzes at a certain
probably just
frequency.
Yeah. Remove the download. Yeah. That's what I would prefer.
So it was interesting, but the CEO was saying, yes, we're buying that app, and they're buying another app that's foreign, you know, international type of app. So between that and their connections that they have people registered through Under Armour, they'll have personal data on what people eat, exercise, all that on 120 million people.
I gotta tell you.
So think about Under Armour now, right? With their shirts, the pants, the shoes.
Yeah, the retail side.
The retail side, see, that is their target audience.
Yeah.
So that's why he paid all that money. It's a brilliant move, right?
So it's this big data, right? So they're going to get information on their target audience, to your point, so that they can better, you know, fundamentally, the school that Auburn wears, I just can't have a hard time getting past it. You know, I became an Adidas guy when my school, KSU, Kennesaw State, became an Adidas school. So we're all in with Adidas now. But I just fundamentally, as brilliant as that is, and the stock I'm sure will do wonderfully with Under Armour, but come on. It's Auburn. I associate the two.
Well, let me just say that if y'all are walking through the store and you start seeing that Under Armour is now offering a Snickers branded clothes, and I have actually downloaded the app, and just my consumption alone has probably driven them to start carrying it in the store. Just so you know,
the data is going to be skewed. Is that
what you're saying? Absolutely.
But see, that's the trend in the future, Matt. Right, where the companies will have all this data on potential customers, and it's all going to be real time because it's updated every day based on what you do.
It absolutely is.
That's the data-driven.
I mean, you think about what type of information they've got access to. It's what I think the banks are still trying to figure out in the financial services sector. They've got so much information on us related to bill pay and your electronic transaction data.
Yeah.
There's so much information there. Can they make sense of it? And then they convert that into actionable steps for them to go and capitalize on it. And I think groups like Under Armour, Nike's doing it, you know, their partnership with Apple. You know, there's so many ways that commerce is changing as a result of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Big data is changing the way it works.
It sure is. And one of the things, you know, I hadn't talked about it much, but I'm in the process of doing a paper with one of the professors over at KSU about something very similar. It's taking Twitter emotion, the sentiment, and trying to determine where the stock market's going to head in one direction or another. Mm. And they've been working on this since, you know, like 2004 or 5. It's amazing at how much work has already been done in this particular area that they can, you know, it's not just big data understanding how your, you know, what your preferences are. It's also your emotions.
Yeah, and psychology.
And exactly. I mean, they do some amazing things.
Well, you think about the volume of data points.
Right.
That you're going to get through social media.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. When you see a spike in one direction or another, all it has to tell you is whatever the sentiment is. If it's positive, then on a specific stock or on the market as a whole, you know, you can track that. And you can see that there's folks out there that are actually running companies and trading in a manner that
just based on that little momentum, basically.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. It's nothing we would ever do. I like to know the fundamentals of the stock, but
they don't care what it is, what it does.
They really don't.
They see a little momentum and pop.
Yep. So. And like I say, I've been amazed as I've gone through some of the research to determine, you know, what's been done and what needs to be done. Just how much has actually been talked about in this, you know, in this area.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but the proliferation of big data, it's a game changer.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, we had a little bit of more earnings, I guess we can throw out there. Disney came out this week and beat earnings $1.27 versus $1.07 on the expectation. Yeah. The stock was up 7.5%.
Yes.
On the news. That's amazing for a company like Disney to have a pop like that.
It's got ESPN, the cash cow.
Right.
It's
got
and
Frozen.
Now it's got Frozen. I mean, all these kids
Elsa
love Frozen.
I've got a 7-year-old daughter.
There you go.
I'm just going to tell you.
Good, Matt. Thank you for helping
Frozen
Disney.
Frozen matters.
I'm telling you, it matters a lot of places. I remember just back in October when I was out with the kids walking around trick-or-treating, and that was the
number one thing, right?
Yeah, the big outfit.
Yep.
That was the deal.
Definitely thing.
Right.
So don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most-respected money show on Atlanta radio. We'll be right back.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.